Hello, this is Brother Denny. Welcome to Charity Ministries. Our desire is that your life would be blessed and changed by this message. This message is not copyrighted and is not to be bought or sold. You are welcome to make copies for your friends and neighbors. If you would like additional messages, please go to our website for a complete listing at www.charityministries.org. If you would like a catalog of other sermons, please call 1-800-227-7902 or write to Charity Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, PA, 17522. These messages are offered to all without charge by the free will offerings of God's people. A special thank you to all who support this ministry.
Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. Oh, how we thank God for Christ, you know. Thanks, brother, for that message. The glorious hope of looking full into His wonderful face. Some blessed day. It may be today, like you shared, brother. Or it may be a number of years from now. We never know the day or the hour, but we know of a surety that we shall see Him, and when we shall see Him, we shall be made in His likeness, it says in John. Okay, let's rise for a word of prayer. Father, we do worship You this morning. We praise You and we thank You, God. Thank You so much, Father, for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise You that in Him we have life and have it more abundantly. We thank You, Father, for, oh God, we thank You for salvation through Your Son. We thank You for redeeming our lives from destruction, crowning us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh Lord, when I think of Your tender mercies, it's just awesome to me, Lord, to see how tenderly You've dealt with my life. And I just praise You for Your tender mercies upon us through our struggles and through our times when we go through a valley, Lord, and sometimes we, you know, sometimes we get discouraged, Lord. And thank You for Your tender mercies that are there to lift us up again and cause us to rise up to on our feet again. Like You said there in Your Word, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And we thank You, Lord, that You're faithful in just lifting us up again above the shadows, giving us new courage and new strength and hope and grace to move on and press forward in our Christian faith. So, Father, we thank You this morning. Thank You for this service. Bless and anoint this service, Lord, this message to Your people here at Charity Christian Fellowship. Father, we want to be fed, Lord. We desire to be exhorted and be taught and to know more about Your character and the attributes of who You are, Father, and Your very heart, God. So we pray today, minister to us, minister through me, O God, allow me to be a vessel, Lord, that can be used of You, Lord, to bring Your message to the people here in this fellowship. Father, we bless You for the oneness we have in You. You are the head, we are the body. We worship You and praise You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to all, to everyone. Welcome to any visitors that are here this morning. We welcome you in Jesus' name. That name above all names. No, He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, last week in Bible school, my wife and I were involved in quite a bit of counseling. And you know, I'd seen those powers of darkness had to move back at the name of Jesus. How I thank God for that name of Jesus that is above all names and is able to deliver, set free, and save anyone, all who come to Him in faith. So this morning I'd like to share a message on a threefold look at the love of Christ. And I'm blessed with the opening this morning because it fits right in with the message that I have on my heart. A threefold look at the love of Christ. I'd like to share on the love of Christ for a lost soul and the miracle of the new birth that goes with that. And Christ's love for His body. And lastly, His love He wants to pour out through us for the souls of men that are yet without Him. So a threefold look at the love of Christ is what God has laid on my heart this morning to share. You know, as we think of the love of Christ, it just, again, referring to Bible school and referring to God's workings in my own heart, I've seen His love in a greater way, I must say, in this past year than I probably have, you know, than I have in the past. And also, as dealing with souls at the Bible school, I just realized the love of Christ for a poor, wretched soul, a poor, wretched sinner, or anyone that comes to Him with needs and various struggles that they're having. The love of Christ was poured out many times as we counseled souls of men through to freedom, through to a place of them receiving, of seeing that love and receiving it into their hearts and lives and then being changed by it. I've seen that over and over again during the week of Bible school there. So let's turn our Bibles to St. John chapter 3. I'm just going to go through this chapter here, chapter 3. I'll read to verse 21, 1 through 21. We all know the scripture. This passage of scripture is on the new birth and what it means to be born again. St. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, and of the Spirit he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So I'd just like to share this morning. The first point is, like I shared, is on Christ's love for a lost soul. You know, His love is manifested in a tremendous way here in St. John chapter 3. You know, as I realized again, afresh and anew, the punishment, the penalty upon a lost soul, the penalty of death and hell, like Emmanuel shared, upon a lost sinner. The wages of sin is death. That is the punishment that God, that's a principle in God's Word from the foundation of the world, that he that sinneth shall die. And we know that it's more than just a physical death. Eternal separation from God and eternal punishment in the lake of fire, like we heard this morning. As I studied this chapter, as I went over and like I said, with counseling souls during Bible school, I realized afresh and anew the sacrificial atonement of Jesus. And it's the sacrifice that He gave that we can escape that punishment. It gripped my heart afresh and anew. You know, it's like the law of gravity. God made the law that he that sinneth shall die. There was no escape for any one of us. No escape. The law was put in place. He that sinneth shall die. Just like the law of gravity. We all know that someone, when he tries jumping off a building and thinks he can fly, he won't fly. So it is concerning sin. Anyone who thinks he or she can live in sin and gain an entrance into that heavenly kingdom that we heard about this morning already is dead wrong. We all know that the wages of sin is death. Like I shared, that law of God was put in place from the foundation of the world when Adam and Eve sinned. And even before that, he had said, if you sin, you shall die. So that law of God was put into place at the foundation of the world. And so there was no escape for any one of us in that sense, in that we know that we have all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, sin had to be punished. God is a just God. You know, I think of, and during Bible school, we worked with some of these who claimed they had repented of their sins. You know, they claimed they had repented of their sins, yet they had no assurance of salvation. And I see it afresh and anew that, you know, we cannot only go, that some of these souls, a few of them that I've dealt with recently, they thought they had repented. You know, why has God not forgiven me? I'll come back later on the point I'm bringing out. But they thought they had repented, yet they couldn't seem to find that assurance of salvation they were so much desiring. And so much, so much desiring for. And I've seen again, you know, I just realized again that without Christ, there is no salvation. Without the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, repentance is necessary to show, you know, as a sign to the Lord that we are willing to part with our sins. But there is no forgiveness outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no forgiveness. I dealt with one soul from a few hours away from here, and she said, I've repented over and over again, yet I fall into this sin. And I believe she was sincere. She wanted to get rid of her sins. But I've seen afresh and anew, there is no escape from sin unless Jesus Christ saves us from our sins. And I just realized that principle afresh and anew during that week. Outside of Christ, there is no salvation. There is no deliverance from sin. There is no freedom from sin. We all need our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life as a sacrificial atonement for our sins. You know, it's kind of like God is a just God. And think of a criminal. You know, he commits his crime and then he goes to the judge and he says, I'm sorry for what I've done. But the punishment must be paid. The punishment must be paid. God is a just God. We cannot just go directly to Him and say, Lord, I mean, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. I repent. There is no forgiveness outside of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to show you this morning as we look at this principle of the sacrificial atonement of Jesus and all that He did on the cross for us. You know, in Hebrews it says, without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. The word remission is no putting away of sin. There, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or putting away of our sins. And so this morning, that's what I'd like to show us, is how Jesus has died on the cross, how the Lord Jesus Christ has shed His blood, and how through Him, Him only, can we receive salvation. Can we receive total forgiveness of our sins and total cleansing through the sacrificial atonement of Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed there on the cross for us? You know, we see the pattern throughout the Old Testament and being ultimately fulfilled in Christ, that without the shedding of blood, there is no putting away of sins. We see that pattern in the Old Testament up through to Christ and ultimately fulfilled in Christ. And what I'd like to share is simply that, you know, In the Old Testament, they sacrificed sheep and goats and bullocks and all those animals had to be spotless, without wound, without scratch or without blemish. And they had to be spotless as they were sacrificed on the altar. And in our New Testament age, when we come to Christ, we see very clearly that it took a perfect sacrifice. God was satisfied with nothing less than a perfect sacrifice. And we all know that Jesus Christ, when He lived on the earth, He never sinned. He never committed a sin. He never fell into iniquity. He never transgressed the law one time. So we see that Jesus, He was spotless. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He never sinned. He was the perfect sacrifice in that He was the Son of God. And He was also the Son of Man at the same time. And He was the perfect sacrifice that it took to take away the sins of the world. And as I considered that afresh and anew, you know, the life that Jesus gave for our sins. You know, it took the shedding of blood. There is only one escape from that eternal punishment that we were all sealed with. That death sentence that was pronounced upon all of us. There is only one escape. And as we consider this morning the love of Christ, the way He suffered, the way that He gave His life, His very lifeblood there on the cross, and suffered at, and was mocked and ridiculed at the hands of the Roman soldiers and the Pharisees and scribes. You know, I just realized afresh and anew the love Jesus has for us as humanity. The love of Christ for us human beings that were sold under sin. Sold under sin. The death sentence was pronounced. But then Jesus came and paid the price through that sacrificial atonement of His life and His death there on the cross. The shedding of His blood. And I just, you know, I want us to see the love of Jesus this morning as we consider the sacrifice of His life that He gave on our behalf. The sacrifice of His very life blood. The perfect sacrifice in that He never sinned. He was the spotless Lamb of God. And His sacrifice, God was perfectly satisfied with because He never sinned. He never sinned, not once. So as we consider Jesus this morning, now let's turn to John chapter 3 again. John chapter 3, let's go to verse 14 here. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned." And I'm going to stop there for now. You know, as we think of Christ this morning, you know, and the life that He gave for our sins, His very life blood that He gave on our behalf. You know, I'd just like to speak to maybe some sinner friend who is here this morning. As you consider the love of Christ for you, you are sold under sin. The law of death has been pronounced over your life. The wages of sin is death. But God has given us a way of escape. And that way is through Christ Jesus, His Son. And I'd just like to ask this morning, have you believed in Him? Have you come to Him to receive that only way of escape that you have as a soul? There's only one way of escape from that eternal death punishment that is over your life, and that is Christ Jesus. He so loved you. He gave His life for you. He shed His blood for you. You know, there would be no hope without Christ. And that again just gripped me afresh and anew. You know, there would be no hope without Jesus Christ. Because, like I said, the law was put in place. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. The law was in place. We were all sold under sin. There would be no hope without Christ. And it just made me realize again the love of Jesus for humanity. In giving His very life blood for us and for you, sinner friend. This morning He has given His life for you. He has allowed His life to be nailed on the cross and to suffer at the expense of those evil men that nailed Him there on the cross and ridiculed and mocked Him. He gave His life for you, my sinner friend. For you this morning, He gave His very life that you might be redeemed from your sin. You know, as I think of that and I think of people who turn Him away because, and like it says here, and let's go on down through here, there's only two reasons why a person, from what I see in Scripture, only two reasons why a person doesn't come to salvation. And that is, as we go down through verse 18, it says, "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And that's the number one thing. There must be faith. There must be believing in Jesus, that He only is able to save me. He only is able to redeem me from my sins. I believe His sacrificial atonement on the cross is sufficient for me. For the forgiveness of all my sins, for the cleansing through His blood, I can be completely cleansed. For the miracle of the new birth to take place, there must be belief in Christ. There must be faith. And so that's the first principle he brings out here is that he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then verse 19, and this is a condemnation, I take it as another condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So there we see the other condemnation is when a sinner loves his sins and is not willing to part with them. That is the other condemnation that comes upon a sinner. When they're not willing to part with their sins. So yes, repentance of sins is very necessary. We need to be willing to part with our sins. To let go of them. That is, and it brings that out as down in verse 20 and 21. It says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So this morning we see that verse 21, the person who comes to the light wants his deeds to be exposed. He wants his deeds uncovered. And that is repentance. But the other one in verse 20 does not want to be reproved of his deeds, and therefore he hides them and keeps his deeds from coming to the light. And there is no salvation without repentance. You know, Jesus paid a great price for our sins. And he will not come into a heart and life that is not willing to part with. But one more point I'd like to bring out on this area of the new birth here is let's turn to the scripture in Numbers 21. Numbers chapter 21. We see here's the account where Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And it's also clear here that repentance preceded the people being able Repentance preceded God speaking to Moses and saying, you know, put that brazen serpent on the pole. And whoever takes a look at that serpent will be healed of the serpent bite. We see here that, let's read from verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, and we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. There's the principle of repentance. And then in verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now let's go back to St. John chapter 3 again. Here we see John bringing out in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So this morning, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so we must look to the cross. We must look to our Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross for the forgiveness and the cleansing of our sins. There is no forgiveness. There is no cleansing of sin without our Lord Jesus Christ. None. He paid the price for our sins. He paid the punishment for our sins. And that is what God looks upon and says, you can go free. Jesus has paid the price. My heart is satisfied with the sacrificial atonement of Jesus and the work he did on the cross. My heart is satisfied that that the death punishment can be removed from your life through Jesus and the life that he gave. And his sacrificial atonement and blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So there had to be shedding of blood from the very foundation of the world. And Jesus gave his life for that very purpose, so that he could shed his blood and we could be fully forgiven. Because the heart of God is satisfied with his sacrificial atonement. So we see here that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I'd just like to, I can imagine this morning, I just had to think, so I was thinking of the wickedness of this world that we live in, and the news, some of us heard the news about what took place this week in our community. And, I just had to think afresh and anew how the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus loves David Ludwig. He wants him to come to salvation. He wants him yet to be saved from his sins. To receive this very forgiveness that it speaks about here in St. John chapter 3. To receive full forgiveness of his sins. To receive a salvation. Forgiveness for all that he has done. I just had to think, as I pictured the Old Testament scene there where Moses put the brazen serpent on the pole, I pictured those who were ready to die. They were at the point of death. Probably some were carried by their loved ones to right up to the foot of that pole so that they could take one look at that brazen serpent. And be healed. They were wretched. They were at a place of, they were at the very point of death. One look at that pool brought healing into their very bodies. And there were others, I'm sure, that the serpent had bitten and they felt quite healthy yet. The effect of the bite hadn't really taken effect in their bodies yet, and so they felt, they might have felt, well, what good does this do to look up at the cross? Up at that pool. I'm feeling fine. I really am not sure even if the poison has had any effect on me. If the snake bite has had any effect, but they also needed to look at the cross. They also had to look at that pole. They had been bitten, and sure death was on its way. Sure death was to come upon them. And that's how it is with us as sinful humanity. You may sit here this morning and think, maybe you're a teenager, and think, well, I grew up in a Christian family, and I grew up in a Christian home, and mom and dad, they have devotions with me every day, and I know about the things of the Lord, and I have much knowledge about the Bible, and surely I'm fine. I'm fine in the security of my parents' home. I'm fine in the security of the Christian teachings that I've been brought up in, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. You've been bitten by the serpent of sin. You've been bitten by that same serpent of sin that David Ludwig was bitten by. You need salvation. Yes, you may not have committed many, many sins, like some wicked sinner who has lived a lifetime of sin, but you have been bitten by the serpent. And sure death has been pronounced upon you. You will die in your sins. But there's hope for each one of us. Whether you're a wicked sinner this morning, or whether you are a teenager that grew up in a Christian home and has not yet been exposed to the defilement of this world, but like I said, you have definitely been bitten by the serpent. One look at the cross is all Jesus, is all that it takes for the salvation of your soul. If you are willing to part with your sin, one look at the cross. Believing, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this morning, my friends, maybe you're here this morning and you are lost. You know this morning that you are a sinner by the Word of God that I'm sharing. You know that you are not yet saved. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no salvation for your soul outside of Jesus. Come to Him. And yes, in repentance, but realizing I cannot save myself. I am doomed, I am undone, I am lost, I cannot save myself. Jesus Christ, I think of that scripture in John. It says when John the Baptist saw Jesus walking, I think by the seaside, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So this morning, the Lamb of God is the only one. Jesus Christ Himself is the only one that can take away your sins. Take them away. Remove them from your heart through the cleansing power of His blood. You know, I just, again, referring to Bible school, I realize that some of these souls, they are struggling. They don't realize the need of the divine nature of Jesus. They don't realize their need of the divine nature of Christ. I can't do it. I simply can't do it. I need to be saved from my sins. And then the divine nature and righteousness of Christ comes into the heart. Oh, the love of Jesus, as we consider this morning, His sacrificial atonement on the cross for us. The only means of escape from our sins. The only means. There, we would all be doomed had it not been for Christ. You know, that just has given me a new appreciation for Jesus. We would all be doomed had Jesus not come and given His very lifeblood on our behalf. How I thank Him for that. So one more time, my sinner friend this morning, if you are here, the Bible is clear, for God so loved the world, He loves you. God loves you. Christ gave His life for you. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can escape that death punishment that we heard about this morning. That death sentence that has been pronounced upon you and you will surely die and end up in that place that Brother Emmanuel shared about, unless you believe in Him. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay. Let's go on to point number two. Point number two, I'd like to speak this morning on Christ's love for His body. You know, as we consider most of us in this room have been born again. Most of us have experienced the miracle of the new birth. You know, it is a miracle. But this morning, most of us have experienced that. And so I'd like to go on to the second aspect of the love of Christ is for His body, His church, His people. We see that very evident in throughout the New Testament, how Jesus loved His disciples. And we see it woven throughout Paul's epistles, how much Jesus loves His body, the church, and desires the best for her. His desire is toward her. He delights in her. He counts it a real joy to be a part of this body, in that He is the head and we are the body. We are intricately connected with Him, and He loves His body, the church. Let's just turn to chapter 17 of John. I'd just like to bring out a few scriptures here. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Verse 11 of St. John 17. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And then let's read in verse 21 through 23. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And then verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So this morning, as I considered these verses here, I realized how much Jesus counts Himself a part of His body. And how much His desire is that we be as one. That we be as one, intricately connected with one another, and also intricately connected with the head. And that is where the love of Christ, flows into the body in its abundance and in its fullness. You know, I just realized again that we really can only experience the fullness of His love and the fullness of Christ as we are intricately connected with the body. You know, when we consider those scriptures in 1 Corinthians about, you know, how there are many members in the body, and God has given to one, you know, the gift of faith, and another the gift of knowledge, another the gift of miracles, and so on. You know, we can only experience the gifts of another brother as we are intricately connected with the body, with our brother, with our sister. And I believe that is the only way we can also experience the fullness of His love. The fullness of Christ's love. You know, I looked at this and I think it's in verse 11. Yeah, it says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those that thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." And that love, and it brings that out in the other verses too, that love relationship was only that love relationship that Jesus had with the Father was because they were one. Because there was oneness there. That oneness caused that love relationship to flow in all its beauty and all its fullness. And I just like to encourage us on that aspect this morning. You know, as we think of ourselves desiring to experience the fullness of Christ's love, are we able to love our brother and sister? Are we able to bond as a body? Are we able to interconnect with one another? Love one another out of a pure heart fervently, like I shared in another message. Do we want to experience the fullness of His love? He loves His body, His church. He loves us very, very deeply. But again, let's allow ourselves to experience that fullness of His love through being properly related with the head. And that comes by also being properly related with the body. So, Jesus loves His church. He loves us very much. Since here, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do we want the world to see Christ's love? The only way we as a church can show the world the fullness of Christ's love is through oneness. Through us loving one another right here in our midst. Okay, another aspect of Christ's love is, not necessarily another aspect, but I'd just like to move on in this matter of relationship with Christ. Let's turn to St. John chapter 10. St. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I'd like to go into, as we consider Christ's love for His body, I'd like to give us the scene and picture of a sheepfold this morning again. You know, as we consider a sheepfold, it says here that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd knows them and they follow him. As I get the picture, you know, as I see that picture of a sheepfold, that shepherd lovingly taking care of his sheep. Lovingly and tenderly taking care of his sheep. Watching out for them. Making sure that they are in a luscious green pasture. That they have the proper nourishment that they need for their bodies. And, you know, as I consider Jesus and His shepherd heart towards us, you know, I'd like to just encourage us this morning. Maybe you are here and you're discouraged. Or maybe you have been wounded in battle. You know, I want to bring out some of these principles of the shepherd's care even for you who have been wounded, who are at a place where you're just kind of wandering about maybe and wondering, does the shepherd really care for me? You see others prospering in their Christian lives. You see them going on. But you're at a place this morning. Maybe you're at a place where you're wondering, you know, does Jesus really care about me and my situation? Does He really care? Does the shepherd care for me in the place where I am? Let's turn to Psalms 23 to consider some of these points. You know, I look at my own life and I look at the past 4 years that God, since we came back from Africa, God has had to do a lot of work in my life, a lot of work in my heart, to deliver me from fear especially, and many times I would fall back into the trap. And the tender mercies of the Lord, I'm just awed at His tender mercies and how He just takes us as His sheep into His care. Again, you know, after we falter, and again just shows us principles of His Word that we haven't seen before, tenderly takes us up in His arms, and brings healing again, and brings courage into our hearts and souls and lives. So I'd just like to encourage us this morning. Maybe you're here, you're broken. No matter where we're at, we all need the shepherd's care. And so I'd like to read chapter 23, and I'll just read this chapter, and then I'll elaborate on the points there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 1, David, I picture this entire chapter. Just picture as we go through this chapter, I see David in the entire chapter, he's bringing out the heart of the shepherd. The entire chapter, you know, as we see verse 5, as David said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Keep in mind, in this entire chapter, the context is that of the sheep having a relationship with the shepherd. So the first verse, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I see David saying there, you know, the Lord, I have learned by experience that Christ is that the Lord is my shepherd. He takes care of me. He takes care of me. He cares for me, His sheep. Yes, I have been wounded in battle. I have fled from Saul and I've gone through many trials and tribulations. But I've learned by experience that the shepherd cares for me. And I have no lack because of that care that He gives to me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. A place of calm and a place of serenity, a place of peace, and a place of joy. You know, as we think of Jesus, as we think of this kind, loving shepherd leading us into quiet resting places, and as we think of Him, the peace and joy that He gives in our Christian faith, in our Christian lives. And David, you know, he realized that how the Lord gave him peace and joy despite the circumstances he was in sometimes. And it caused his heart to well up and say, He maketh me to lie down. I can lie down in a green pasture and my soul can be perfectly calm. Perfectly calm and at peace. And he leads me beside the still waters. And I just get that picture of, again, the shepherd nourishing, caring, seeking out the best for his sheep. The best pasture, the most luscious one. You know, Christ, God says he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He wants to give us the most luscious green pasture that there is. The most calm, still water that any brook can give out. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. But at the same time, you know, God is a God who at times tests our faith. He tests us. He tries us. And He does allow us to sometimes walk through turbulent waters. You know, He desires us to walk in those green pastures, but then sometimes the sheep are led into another area, and perhaps there is a place where the waters are not as still and quiet. And maybe this morning you are at a place in your life where you need your soul restored. You've gone through trials, you've gone through difficulties, and you've fallen and faltered and given in, maybe to sin even. I just like to bring out this morning, He restoreth my soul. Maybe you're heartbroken over a member of your family who is unsaved yet. Maybe your home is at a place where you just think there is no hope. No hope. He restoreth my soul. Jesus says He heals the brokenhearted. In Luke 4:18, He heals the brokenhearted. So put your hope in Christ. I encourage you this morning, if you are struggling with hopelessness or discouragement over a situation. You know, again, I made reference to myself coming home from Africa a few years ago. You know, I came home broken in heart and not having lost my way, not really knowing the answers for me, for my life, and what was all happening. And of course, there was issues that needed to be dealt with. And God has truly restored my soul. And I'd just like to encourage you this morning. If you're here, you need restoration. You're in a place of despair and hopelessness over a situation you may be in, or maybe your children, maybe they're lost in sin, and you just think there's no hope. I'm just going to be in a place of discouragement all the days of my life. Take courage in the Lord. The Lord is your shepherd. He wants to restore your soul. Yes, the situation may not change immediately, but look to Him in hope, in faith, believing that He is your shepherd and He is able to give me, even sustain me, during this deep trial and tribulation that I am passing through. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I just want to encourage us all this morning, if you need restoration of your heart and soul, you know, during Bible school, I was just made aware of the love of Christ. You know, I met quite a few who were tremendously bruised emotionally. You know, and the love of Christ came through. And yes, maybe they're not completely all healed up yet, but Jesus Christ is coming through in their lives. And He wants to heal them. You know, I usually like to, there in Luke 4:18, I like to apply that scripture where it says, He came to set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised and battered emotions. Things that people have passed through that have just devastated. My brother, sister, there's hope that your emotional life can be healed, and the emotional being, part of your being, can once again flow forth in a natural way. There's hope for you. Jesus wants to restore your soul. He wants to restore you. just have to pardon me for coming through Bible school. I'm just amazed at the love of Christ. You know, another aspect that I've seen the love of Christ come through in Bible school was I met a soul or two that it's just a spiritual fog over their lives. I had to think again of that verse in Luke 4:18. You know, He came to give eyesight to the blind. Jesus came through and the spiritual fog was lifted. They were able to see the Son of God. They were able to see His love for them. So, this morning, as God's people here at Charity Christian Fellowship, maybe you've been blown off course in your Christian life a little. Maybe you've even strayed or gone a little cold in your heart. Jesus wants to restore you. Come to the foot of the cross. Jesus wants to restore you. Bring you back into a place of vibrancy and spiritual health and healing. You know, I think of that Jesus' heart that was brought out in, let's just turn to that quickly, Matthew 11. Jesus' heart when He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to the shepherd this morning. You will find His shepherd heart will be right there for you, ready to restore you. Come, you heavy laden, those of you who are laboring against sin and maybe have been wounded in the battle, come to Christ with your heavy burden. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. You know, I've found that in my Christian life. I used to struggle so hard against sin. And many times it was in my own strength. And once I just yielded myself and said, "Lord, I can't do it. Your divine nature has to come through." Then I found rest. I just encourage you this morning, whatever your situation may be, maybe you're struggling over a besetting sin. God bless you for the struggle. I mean, I don't want to cast a negative light on your struggle against sin, and yet I have experienced that just taking my burden to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I can't do it. Your divine nature has to come through." Then there's rest. And there's peace. And He is faithful. Okay, let's go on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. For Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I picture David saying here, you know, even when I go through the valley of death, where there's lions and venomous beasts and all kinds of animals out there who might want to devour me and take away my life, I will fear no evil, for the shepherd is with me. I see David saying that, and he even says, "I will walk through that valley." You know, he doesn't say, "I'll run through it to try to get through it real quickly and I get out of this horrible dark valley that I found myself in." David says, "I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for the shepherd is with me." The shepherd is with me. I get the picture, you know, of a child going through a jungle forest, or we could say, you know, well, maybe I'll bring that point in later, but a child going through a jungle forest holding his dad's hand. The wolves are howling. There's many other sounds of the jungle night. And she can't even see her father's face for the darkness. But she knows he knows the trail. And his dad's reassuring voice, all will be fine. We will reach our home safely. Don't worry, daughter. Fear. The fear is gone. She's resting in the tender care of her father. His tender, loving care and protection over her life. This is a picture I see here. David says, I will fear no evil. I can walk through these valleys because the shepherd is with me. The shepherd is with me. Therefore, I will fear no evil. And his rod and staff keeps me in place. That's the voice that I see that David is saying. The voice of the shepherd is that he uses his rod to prod me back into the beaten course, the beaten path. And he used his staff also to, you know, the flick of the staff by the shepherd used to point out the way for the sheep to go. And they knew the certain signal of that staff and what it meant for them. So let's remember that when we are going through trials, tribulations, temptations, and dark times, that because of Jesus the shepherd being with us, we do not have to fear any evil. No evil. Verse 5, David says, just like the shepherd finds a luscious pasture that is right in the presence of the enemy for his sheep, he says, so it is with me. In fact, my mind and my heart, my mind is at peace and my joy is full, even in the presence of mine enemies. As we see verse 5 there, he brings out very clearly, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I get the picture, you know, of a shepherd, again, on the mountain steep, somewhere on a mountain plateau with his sheep, knowing that the wolves are all around. But they are able to peacefully feed there on that mountain slope. He anointeth my head with oil. Peace in the mind. My cup runneth over. Joy in the heart. Even in the presence of our enemies. And sometimes he takes us right into those places and furnishes a table for us. Furnishes a table for us right in the presence of our enemies. And he does it many times, I believe, to show our enemies the fearlessness of a child of God who has his shepherd's protection over him. Then David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I just see David saying here, you know, God's goodness to me and taking me into those green pastures and beside those still waters, his goodness is so vast and so bountiful and so beautiful. And then he also looks and realizes how merciful the Lord has been toward him at times when he has faltered and failed and sinned. The shepherd was there to restore him back to health again. I just see David saying, Lord, surely goodness, surely all that I've experienced, I see that your goodness and your mercy is going to be with me all the days of my life. And I will, through that goodness and mercy, I know that I will be able to be in your presence forever. That's what I see David saying there as he looks at the shepherd's care over his life. So my brother and sister this morning, realize how much Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you, like I said in the first point. Now you've been saved. And it brings out in Romans, how much more, if we have been saved through his death, will we be kept by his life living within us? Now that you have the shepherd over your life, how much more will you be kept? Put your trust in the shepherd's tender, loving care for you as an individual. and for you as a believer in Him. Okay, point number three. The third aspect of the love of Christ that I see is His heart for the multitudes that are yet without the true shepherd. His heart for the multitudes that are yet without a true shepherd. Now we've just heard how much Jesus cares for His sheep. Now just imagine in your mind and heart, sheep having no shepherd. No shepherd. There is no shepherd there for them. And let's turn to Matthew for that. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus had just gotten done ministering to the multitudes. It says in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." And I'd like us just to imagine this morning, you know, Jesus had just gotten done ministering to these multitudes, and He realized, I can't do it all. He looked on the multitudes, and he realized many were I believe there was desire there. There was desire there to be able to get to Christ. There was desire there in the multitudes' hearts to be able somehow to get to know Jesus, be able to touch the hem of His garment. He looked on the multitudes with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I'd just like to give us a picture this morning. You know, picture that hillside. That same hillside of sheep having no shepherd. The multitudes that are either under the care of a hireling who doesn't care for them, or the multitudes that are simply lost and a sheep wandering about without even an hireling or both. Both are at a place of destruction and without a true way to walk in. As you consider, you know, as you consider sheep having no shepherd, no shepherd to show them the way to the true fold. You know, there they are on the hillside. There they are, trying to grope their way. You know, they're there. I'm speaking of sheep who really have desire to find the fold and are trying to, and they're groping for their way, but no shepherd to show them the way to the true fold of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, think of them on there on the hillside. There they are, wandering about, seeking for that way, seeking for the way to the true fold, but not being able to find it, just wandering about. Then one gets caught in a thicket and is not able to get loose from that thicket and ends up dying. One gets snatched by a wolf who tears at his flesh and maybe is even killed. There they are on that hillside, wounded, weary of trying to find the way. And they're all torn up, they're bleeding, desiring to find the way to the true and only fold that has a true shepherd. And I'd just like to give us that heart of Jesus this morning for the lost people of the world. As we consider what Jesus has done for us, and how we have a true shepherd, how we have someone to go to when we are wounded and weary, And I've been, I've been wounded at battle, and now we need restoration of our heart and mind, and we have a true shepherd who again pours in the oil and the wine for the healing that is needed. But these have not. They have no true shepherd. No true shepherd to help their weary, sin-sick soul. So this morning, as you picture that hillside of bleeding sheep in endless turmoil, they grope for the way, yet they know it not. And this is where many, most of them, die. You know, they've never experienced the tender shepherd's care. We have. Never. Not once in their lifetime have they experienced the love of a tender shepherd. And there they die. You know, Jesus looked on those multitudes of people and he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, will you, my brother and sister, give ourselves to the work of God? Will we go up to that mountain steep, gather in one of those lambs into our arms, take it back down, and place it into the true fold of the tender, loving shepherd, who is Jesus Christ Himself. Will we go point out the way to them? Will we tell them there is a way to the true shepherd's fold? There is a way that you can receive a tender shepherd's care. You don't have to be without one. So this morning, you know, just consider, we have experienced this tender shepherd's care, but most in this world have not. And I believe, you know, again referencing to Bible school, there's those bleeding sheep out there that are wanting to find their way back to the fold. Into the fold of God's loving care, and into the fold where Jesus promised, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Remember, we are God's people. We as God's people are the body of Christ. We are His arms, legs, ears, eyes, and mouth. Will we bring them home to the tender shepherd's care? This morning, I just wanted to give us a picture of the love of Christ for, number one, a lost soul. Maybe you're here this morning. You are one of those sheep that are lost. Jesus loves you. He is desiring you to come to the foot of the cross and be redeemed and saved from your sins. And secondly, like I said, I wanted us to see His love for the body of Christ, His people. For His love for us, His sheep, here at Charity Christian Fellowship. He loves us very tenderly and intimately. We are the sheep of His pasture, and He loves us and cares for us, and desires are the best for us, and will restore our soul if we come to Him and trust Him. And then thirdly, His love for a lost and dying world, for the multitudes of people on that hillside who have no shepherd. The love of Christ is going out yet with compassion upon those multitudes, and desiring to bring them in to the tender shepherd's care. Will I make ourselves available for them to bring them home? God bless you. That's all I have this morning. Let's kneel before the Lord. Father, this morning we thank you for your love. The love of God so rich, so pure, so merciful, so strong. So vast, Lord, so far-reaching. Oh, Father, we just desire to be baptized, to be filled with the love of God, to be constrained by the love of God. Oh, for the love of God to be shed more deeply upon our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Father, this morning I just pray for anyone who is struggling, feeling worthless, feeling like God doesn't love or care for them. Oh Lord, open their eyes to the Father's love, that he leaves the 99 and he goes out to find that lost sheep. Father, we pray for the lost sheep. Oh God, that they could sense and embrace and believe the love that God has for them. Jesus loveth even me. Often it's easier for us to believe that God loves the other person. But what about me? Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your word to us this morning. Father, we pray that our love may abound and may increase yet more and more. Our love for you and our love for one another and our love for the Lord. Oh God, forgive us, Lord. Have mercy upon us for where we do not see as we ought. Love through me, Lord Jesus. Love through me, as the songwriter said. Father, just search our hearts this morning. Deal with us, O gentle shepherd. And take us from where we are to where you want to take us, Lord. Help us to not be stubborn and unyielding, but oh, that we can just yield and surrender all to Jesus. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and serve him and in his presence daily live. Father, if there's any here this morning that are lost and you're speaking to their hearts, oh God, I pray that they wouldn't leave without seeking the Lord. Maybe just coming up and asking for help. I need to be saved. I'm lost. Father, we thank you. Bless the Father's service. We commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I shared with my wife the other day, can we grasp it in our hearts that it is the heart of God that David Ludwig, who the murderer
at 18 years old that he should be saved. You know, can we grasp that? Can we fully grasp that and understand that? Or do our hearts rise up in, you know, vengeance? Yes, he will suffer consequences for his actions. But God still loves him. Jesus can save murderers. Hallelujah. And that we would pray for those that are really deeply hurting. This was from homeschooling families that this took place in. People who went to church. People who go to church. I don't know them personally, but Jesus loves sinners. So this morning, I just want to open it up. Something on your heart you'd like to share. Maybe confession, testimony. Just feel free. If anyone would like to share, raise your hand. The ushers will get a microphone to you. On the brother's side or sister's side, feel free. Get your hands up high. Keep them up so the ushers can see you. Get the microphones to you. Brother Franz.
Yes, I would just like to thank Brother Mel for the message. I felt God speaking to me. I do struggle a lot with looking for approval from men, and I was just really blessed that I can look to Jesus and see Him as my good shepherd and mm-hmm. see His approval, see His healing hand, His guiding hand, that He wants to restore us. And that was just a real blessing to me. And I was also blessed Brother Emmanuel's message on us being one step from the Lord, one step from judgment. I was also blessed in Revelations there, right after the lost are cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 21, it says, Behold, I saw a new heavens and a new earth. And also God's blessing upon mm-hmm. His followers. So thank you.
Amen, Franz. Yes, Jeremy.
Amen. I'm also very excited about the love of God for us. He definitely loves sinners. I've noticed something as I've been counseling with young people different times, even at Bible school and different times, that there's a tremendous instability and insecurity that comes along with not knowing and understanding the love of God for him or her. God loves us, and no matter what we do, if we are sincere and desire to walk with God, the mistakes we make or the sins that we commit, God's love is still an incredible, overwhelming love that He has for us, to the point where He says that, I rejoice over you with singing. Yet, if a person doesn't know that, there's a big insecurity that comes along with that. But also the concrete stability that comes along in knowing that I am loved of God, and no matter what I do, I am loved of God. There's a tremendous stability in that. And I've noticed that in my own life, that when I understand the will of God and the love of God for me in that way, there's a strong, stable relationship there with God. Amen.
Amen. Others? Over here on the sister's side, raise your hand so the usher can... Anyone else? Get your hand up so we can hand over on the brother's side here also. All right, you can go ahead.
I just wanted to thank Brother Emmanuel for the message on being present in our body and absent from the Lord and just the opposite. When my dad passed away last year, I think it was just, I was at home in the house when he died. But when Mom told me how he just lay there and there were like big drops of sweat on his, just all over his face, it's so often just the thought went through my mind, what was going on in his mind, what was he thinking, was he afraid? And just the questions that what happened after he died, it always just grasped me as, and it put a fear in my heart because it's so unknown, it's so dark and so unknown. And I was just incredibly blessed just to have that kind of as an answer in my heart. And I just felt God placing his hand upon me and just pouring his rest out on me to just know that it was just comforting. And I just want to thank you.
Praise God. Amen. Over here on the brother's side.
I too was very blessed by the messages this morning, both of them and how they work together, knowing that we could in a moment be face to face with the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Brother Emmanuel, for bringing out that reality and also the reality that there are those who are lost and could be face to face with the reality of God's judgment. It's amazing that two truths so awesome could be in the same book. One moment you could be so blessed and the other moment so convicted. Very grateful for Brother Mel's message, and especially the part speaking of the body of Christ and how important it is to receive God's love and share God's love in a body. We as a family have been at Charity for about 2 years and have been, as Brother Mel described, I think, sheep, and if I may say, a shepherd, who have been beaten down from the body we came from, and really have desired for that restoring of the soul that the Scripture speaks of. And this week in Bible school, just 2 weeks ago, God orchestrated things in such a way that I really needed my shepherds. I needed wisdom. And I was just so thankful for the ways of God's love and grace touched us through our shepherds. And we have been praying about, but I confess, as the leader of the home, putting off membership for a while. Seems like there's a lot in our lives, whether it's through work and trying to settle into that routine, or a number of things, Bible school, a baby that's due, some difficulties with the baby. There have been a number of things, and I guess my confession, this morning is, it would have been a good day to become a member. I wish I had shared that desire earlier. I want to just say thank you for being a loving body, and thank you for providing a place of still waters, green pastures, a place week after week to have our stores restored. But I do believe it's time to give back again. It's more than time. So thank you for being patient with us.
Amen, Brother Jeff. God bless you. Is there anyone else? God is laying it on your heart to share this morning. Raise your hand. Let's share a few verses out of Isaiah here. In Isaiah 49, verse 13, he says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But now listen to the response of the church. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. You know, sometimes we feel like that. We feel like, but God, I feel alone. But listen what God says. God says to his afflicted, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God will not forget thee. Even as unnatural as it is for a woman to forget her sucking child, it takes a depraved soul to cast out a sucking child. God says, well, okay, that may even happen, but I will not forget. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. And over in Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Then down in verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. That is our God. Behold your God. Thank you, Brother Mel, for allowing the Lord to use you this morning to bring those words to us, minister grace to our hearts.